Well, good afternoon or good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is the Ralph Winterroad Show. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II, coming to you live out of Alaska, true seeker of the far north. Nice cloudy day up in Alaska. We're turning some of that white stuff into water. It's amazing how that works. Man, I love that. It's 9 hours and 37 minutes up from 5.5 hours. So we're doing great up here in Alaska. We've went from 5.5 to 9.5 hours, so that's really great. So anyway, going to have in a minute here, we're going to have a guest today. I'm really honored to have a guest today of Dr. Judy Wood, and we're going to talk about the 911 issue, the real facts of what's going on here. We're probably getting ready to go into break here because we're about running out of time, so I'll bring Dr. Judy Wood in on right after break here, but it's going to be some astounding information based on facts, not what you're hearing out there in the media, not what you're seeing in the DVDs, and it's amazing that somebody of Dr. Judy Wood's caliber in academia is coming out to expose what's going on, what the real answers are based on facts. Not on I know or a bunch of nonsense. And I contacted her the other day here because I saw where ABC said they'd got this 2,779 photos or something just released on a FOIA. And I was unaware of the issues on that. And Dr. Judy Wood's going to talk about that, talk about the hurricane that people don't know anything about, whether explosives were used, how this building supposedly, how could it come down at the speed of gravity, where's the debris, how did these cars that are many hundreds or thousands of feet away, how did they get damaged? So anyway, when we come back after break, we're going to bring Dr. Judy Wood on, and we're going to get some real answers today. Stay tuned. Well, we're back from break here, and the guest today is going to be Dr. Judy Wood. She's a professor of mechanical engineering. I offer a bio page here, research interest in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, optical methods, deformation analysis, material characterization of biomaterials and composite materials. She's a member of the Society for Experimental Mechanics, SEM, founded that. She's received a BS in Civil Engineering, an MS in Engineering Mechanics, Applied Physics, a PhD in Materials Engineering Science. She's taught classes on experimental stress analysis, engineering mechanics, mechanics of materials, strength of materials, strength of materials testing. My goodness! Wow. Welcome to the show, Judy. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Wood, it's really great to have you on, somebody that's of your caliber that's taken on an issue of this 911 to get to the real facts here. And what I'd like to do is just ask you just a few real short questions and then basically let you take this show where we need to go to put out the facts and the evidence here. First of all, were the Twin Towers destroyed by airplanes that struck the building?
I haven't even established whether airplanes struck the building. So
okay.
Airplanes did not destroy the buildings.
Okay, airplanes. That's a better way to put it. So, and the airplanes was fire the reason why the buildings were destroyed?
Nope.
Explosives?
Nope. Well, it depends on how you term explosives. Things suddenly, you know, disintegrating. Is that an explosive? Or it's not conventional explosives.
Okay, that's a better way to put it. See, you're correcting me here. I'm learning something in my terminology here. was there a large amount of the debris missing from the buildings when they... after they were destroyed on the ground?
Yes, at least 80%, approximately, if not, you know, a lot more. You could say, you know, 90-95%, but then people argue over, you know, significant digits, but at least 80%.
Has anybody ever attempted to explain where that material, that debris went?
Not with any rational type of explanation.
Has anybody ever dealt with the cars that were damaged and by all of these, I don't know what to call it, weird phenomena that are hundreds or thousands of feet away from the building? Has anybody ever attempted to deal with that?
Not with any rational explanation.
How about this level 3 hurricane that was outside right off the shores of New York City? Has anybody attempted to say anything about that?
No, not even ABC News that morning.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if we didn't get on ABC News, it, I mean, it probably never happened. Well,
I looked at the archives from, you know, the radio broadcast that morning at 8:30, just before anything unusual happened, and I looked at the weather reports of all the main networks, and some mentioned, you know, rough seas, but everything's fine, nothing to worry about. ABC hadn't even acknowledged there was a cold front, a high pressure system moving in, or that there was a hurricane coming from the other direction.
And it's a level 3. It isn't just a little teeny guy. It's something that could cause a great amount of destruction or rain or whatever, couldn't it?
Correct. It's lots of storm surges. That's the biggest thing. If it isn't that the hurricane's going to come ashore, but if you have a hurricane stalled off the coast, just sitting there, you're going to get horrible storm surges, flooding. Like Manhattan is right at sea level. So what is a high water level going to do to Manhattan?
And nobody wants to talk about it.
Right.
Well, I contacted you here just recently because ABC put out a release that 2,779 photos had just been released on a FOIA. Would you like to comment on that?
The photos that they have posted are photos that have been on my website for at least 4 years. And they're also part of legal action I've taken. So it's sort of mind-boggling why ABC was not interested in the photos while they're on my website, or the fact that I challenged NIST using those photos. I also submitted a QI-TAM case and appealed it to a higher court, and also submitted it to the Supreme Court, which was just recently decided upon. And then, miraculously, right after that, ABC comes out with this announcement. And all this makes you wonder if they had to keep a lid on anybody noticing those photos before the case was decided.
Yeah, except the decision was we're not going to address it. Is that not true?
Correct. And if ABC had come out with this blasting story that went all over the globe, I don't think it would have been swept under the carpet.
So the bottom line is we have, you may call this conspiracy, or for my world, the fix is in. They didn't want to let the world know that these photos were in existence, because then it would call attention to your suit where you're trying to bring this forward and say, hey, looky here. I have facts. This is something that needs to be dealt with.
Well, we can't know for sure, but the timing is quite shocking. We're talking about this case has gone on for almost 3 years, and then is denied, and then like a week later, they come out with this, you know, big announcement.
And nobody in the media dealt with this case going on, did they?
Nope, not at all.
Isn't that amazing? Something that's as important as what you're doing. Say, look, I got facts, folks. Would you like to know the facts? And I've got my name attached to it. And here's the lawsuit. And nobody, quiet. And then all of a sudden, it finally gets denied on the writ of certiorari, and all of a sudden, ABC says, oh, my God, we just found these photos. Wow!
Somebody on a forum pointed out that the set that I have on my website is more original than what ABC posted. Mine have the original information of, you know, what shutter speed and all that that's embedded in the photos.
Mm-hmm.
So they are the original untouched photos. ABC released doctored photos. I'm not
really?
saying fraudulently doctored, but they have watermarks on them. They have the photographer's name and, you know, affiliations and things added. Once you add something to a photo and resave it, it's no longer the original.
That's true. Yeah, so if, we have no idea. So anyway, and I sent out on the email list your web pages and stuff, and we're going to address that down the road here. This photo, because I sent you this one photo, and you call it, I think, a bubbler, but I think that photo is one of the most astounding photos of this could not have happened.
Hey, right on. That's the star of the show there. I call it a bubbler. In the Midwest, that's the term for a drinking fountain.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like a drinking fountain made out of dust.
Yeah.
The dust is shooting up and out like a drinking fountain would, like a bubbler.
Yeah. How does cement obtain the viscosity or another? That's not the correct word here. Correct me. What's the word here to where it acts like water or something?
That is actually the key to how this all kind of came undone for me, that I've been dealing with this myth of the molten metal in the basement story, and said, wait a minute, if there's molten metal in the basement, then any of the fire hoses would have caused a steam explosion. You know, you don't store molten metal at the bottom of your swimming pool.
Not recently.
And there was a water main that broke on West Street that afternoon. It was a lake, and guys were out wading, you know, across the lake there. They didn't look like boiled chickens. You know, it was a flood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's this deal with the molten metal? And then I was thinking more about water when it turns to steam. It expands by 1,600 times in volume. That's why, you know, the top of your pressure cooker wants to shoot off.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually caused the problem with Chernobyl, is the steam explosion.
Really?
Is water suddenly becoming too hot and needing to expand, and it caused an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was looking at the photo of Tower 2. The top starts tipping over, and right at the hinging point is these billowing cauliflower things that look like a steam explosion. Like, okay. The building looks like it's, you know, the solid material looks like it's undergoing the same kind of process where all the molecules suddenly need more room. They need to get away from each other and are repelling each other.
Uh-huh.
And it isn't like a conventional explosion. You know, if it was a bomb, bombs shoot things at like, you know, the speed of sound and above in speed. Uh-huh. This wasn't audible. There's no sound, so already it's not, you can tell it's not a conventional explosion. It's just stuff needing more room and needing to spread out and expand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what would cause the molecules, instead of attracting to each other, they suddenly repel each other? And I started looking up things from there, and I stumbled upon this site where every single one of the phenomena I had listed matched.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was a wild day. And that was the website of John Hutchison, who fiddles, he doesn't like the word tinker, but it's often used to describe what he does. He basically experiments with reproducing the work of Nikola Tesla on the countertop with an apartment full of old vacuum tube equipment. And
hold on, I hear the music coming in. We got to take a break, pay some more bills, and stay tuned, folks. This is going to be an enlightening 2 hours. Okay, we're back from break here, and got Dr. Judy Wood here. And go ahead, you're explaining what you found to explain what was happening at the 911 towers.
Yes, mind you, this is after, you know, several years of just looking at the evidence. My philosophy is, if you don't know what happened, listen to the evidence. It'll tell you exactly what happened. If you don't know, just keep listening more and more. And I just kept looking through the evidence, and, you know, I didn't force it into any cubby holes. I just looked at what the evidence was telling me. And that's how I came to where I had, and that final link was looking at the buildings that looked like turning into to a type of steam or an analogous procedure.
All right.
And if you look at it, the clouds billow out and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. That doesn't happen with controlled demolitions.
No. I've seen videos of those. It's nothing like a controlled demolition at all.
And another interesting thing about it, if it was a collapse, you have floors banging on the others, you have material hitting other material, and that's what would cause, you know, floors to shatter or whatever, and you'd get dust. It wouldn't be 100% dust, but you'd get something. But in order to have that happen, you have to have high resistance for one floor to slam into another one. So the lower floor has to be rigidly strong and sitting there to let the other one smack against it. And if it does that, it's slowing down the motion. The building went away in less time than it would take to drop a bowling ball off the roof and have it hit the pavement.
So that's physically impossible because it's going to be slowed down before it tears the next floor loose.
Correct. And the time to drop a billiard ball off the roof down to the pavement, neglecting air resistance, is 9.22 seconds. That's free fall.
Mm-hmm.
The ground shook for 8 seconds in the case of building one. There wasn't enough time for it to hit the ground.
Now, that's a pretty astounding phenomena. Now, ooh.
Yeah. And if you have buildings supposedly slamming down on each other, you'd have a jackhammer pounding on the pavement. So you should have vibrations that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had a bomb going off, breaking every single joint, and you have to have that material slammed to the ground, it still has to reach the ground. What this evidence shows, the fact that the ground only shook for 8 seconds, says that that building did not come to the ground in chunks at all. It didn't slam to the ground. Had it slammed to the ground, it would have destroyed the foundation it was on.
So there's either some of the material vanished, or something's pushing it down quicker than the speed of gravity?
But it didn't impact the ground, according to the seismic evidence. Some of it did, but only the equivalent of the lower 18 or 20 stories.
Well, that raises an interesting question. Where did it go?
You see the fuming? I don't call it smoke. I don't call it dust. If I don't know what it is, I give it a generic name so I don't bias my observations. I call it fumes. The fumes that came up from ground zero for the next 3 months. Actually six years. it's still ongoing, which is why they're having a problem rebuilding there.
But, there's still fumes coming up 6 years later?
I don't know about fumes. When I was there in January 2008, you could see them bring in new dirt, stir it around, scoop it up, haul it out, bring in new dirt. And that's been going on for quite a while. And the dirt, when the grapplers would dig around in it, it looked like somebody hit a puffball and poof, up would come, you know, this white powdery stuff.
Wow.
And they had folks in hazmat suits directing traffic.
Wow.
That was interesting.
Years later, they got people in hazmat suits?
Yes. And building Bankers Trust, which was right across the street from Tower 2, that is the one that had that big gash in the front.
Yeah.
They repaired the gash, and then they started taking it apart, dismantling the building. Why would they repair it to take it apart?
Illogical.
When they had removed several floors down to that damage zone, the rust on the beams looked like they'd been at the bottom of the ocean for 100 years. Incredible amounts of degradation of the steel.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears to be an ongoing process.
So whatever happened there then is still got there's still things happening that hasn't seen the finalization.
As of last summer, I think only about half of Bankers Trust had been removed. It still has half the, you know, this has been 8 years then. Now it's 8.5 years. Why can't they dismantle it in that amount of time?
Wow, you mean dismantle it to fix it or dismantle it to take it down?
To take it down, to build something else there. They can't even dismantle it.
Oh, wow, astounding. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned. This is like Star Wars, sort of.
Except it's real, yep.
Oh, we didn't even plan that one.
Right.
We'll back in a minute. Stay tuned. Well, we're back from break here and talking to Dr. Judy Wood about 911. Absolutely astounding information, Judy. Dr. Wood, this bank, are you telling me they're trying to tear the building down 8 years later and they haven't accomplished that?
They've been working on it for quite a few years. They keep having, you know, some kind of a story, you know, ongoing, amazing saga. You remember the fire that was in August 2007? And they had another time where somebody dropped a pipe on the 10 and 10 firehouse. Another time when the workers walked off the job because they weren't being paid. There's just like all this ongoing stuff associated with it that delays, you know, nice excuses for delays upon delays. But it's, when I was there last summer, it was had like, you know, at least 20 stories remaining.
Well, that's pretty amazing. They get around and the Twin Towers are destroyed, whatever the word is there, vanished, and by some means in a matter of less than one day, and they're still working 8 years later on one building?
Right, because it's something's left of it. Who knows what we could speculate on, you know, whether it was planned or not planned or whatever the story is, but it seems like it's going to be a record breaker for the amount of time to dismantle a building.
Wow, I should talk to the people that got whatever happened to the other two. We could get it done in a matter of hours or minutes, maybe.
Right.
And what's this issue with the steel? You said the steel is all oxidized or something?
Yes. The steel, one thing I noticed, another symptom of the whole thing, is that the steel rusted sort of instantaneously.
In the building?
You're talking about on there, but also at the leftovers of the World Trade Center. But yeah, on the... in that same region where they'd repaired it, it was very rusted. I call it furry rust. It was just really fuzzy looking. Like somebody had sprayed fuzzy orange fur all over it. Just really thick rust.
And that's not normal for iron or for steel.
For steel. You made a good point there. It's normal for iron, but not for steel.
Yeah.
So how did we have steel turning into iron?
That's another good question, isn't it?
Steel is 99% iron, but it has other doodads in it, mainly carbon and some other additions that improve its structural properties, its rust resistance, and its strength. If you remove those, you have iron. So how do you get the molecules to let go of the other ones?
And nobody's ever addressed that question either, I bet, have they?
I've looked at it, but other than myself, I don't think there's anyone else.
Mm-hmm. So we have all these things that nobody can explain, and nobody wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yep, that you've got it. And every single one of these weird phenomena seem to be reproducible with the work of Tesla.
Now, how did Tesla fit into this? Can you explain that to the audience?
Tesla's been, you know, 100 years ago and had experimented with a lot of different physics, an unusual physics, something we're not taught in school. That Tesla is who we owe alternating current to. He came up with some pretty interesting things, including wireless transmission of power. And there were some other things he'd come upon, and he decided, you know, for free energy to the world, but he thought that if he implemented that, it would fall into the wrong hands, and it would be used for evil. And now that we see it has ended up in the wrong hands and has been used for evil, I think we should use it for good. There's no risk.
So how does that, what are you alluding to here?
The technology that was used on 9/11 is capable of providing free energy to the planet.
Boy, that's going to raise a lot of opposition.
Yep. Why do you think it needs to be covered up so badly?
Because we can't have people with free energy, because it would we would be free. We would have liberty again. And these oil companies and all these people that control us daily would lose their control, wouldn't they? And their money.
He who controls the energy controls the people.
Yeah. Wow. Is it wide knowledge that these directed energy weapons is that what we can tag this to for 9/11 exist?
It's now becoming more people are becoming more aware of the conventional directed energy weapons now, like the microwave used on crowd control. They call it that, the active denial system. And also the airborne laser to shoot down whatever it wants to shoot down. But if you think about it, don't you think this kind of technology would be developed in secrecy?
Oh, absolutely.
And we had this Reagan Star Wars program for so long. What do you think they developed in that program?
I don't even know if my imagination could comprehend what they may have done.
And what do you think other countries were developing also?
Heaven help us.
It isn't just this country. I don't know who did 9/11. I honestly don't.
Mm-hmm.
And as I like to say, I don't believe our government is responsible for carrying out for executing the events of 9/11, nor do I believe our government is not responsible. It's not a case of belief.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough information to know, but the first step of it all is to figure out what happened before you go to how it happened and who done it and why they done it and, you know, all the other things. First thing is, what got done?
Absolutely, I agree. Get the facts. What got done? Because how are you ever going to arrive at a logical conclusion of the other?
The example I like to give is somebody who murders someone. They charge him with murder by gunshot from shooting somebody to death. They haul him into court. It turns out the guy killed the victim, but with poison. The body doesn't have any bullet holes in it.
Uh-huh.
So what you do by bringing him into court for shooting him to death is you give him life free. You know, he doesn't ever get charged again due to double jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
You only get one bite of that apple.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't charge somebody with a crime, with the wrong crime. You have to know what crime they even committed. So I definitely do not buy into the 9/11 was an inside job chant, because that implies that you know who done it and how they done it.
Mm-hmm. And we can't even get anybody to actually look at the real facts of how it was done.
Right. Right, and something else I find a little bit concerning is this truth movement that claims to want a new investigation, and they want justice, truth and justice,
uh-huh.
But had no interest in the QTAM case that I had ongoing for 3 years. What's wrong with this picture? Yeah.
That there tells you a whole bunch. All of a sudden, because I've heard these word truthers, and I just presumed there's another presumption with no facts.
Mm-hmm.
I presumed that they would be extremely interested in the facts and in your QTAM case.
No, they like to actually hide it.
Wow.
Don't need to go into that so much more, but there's a whole lot riding on this. It's not as simple as it looks.
Mm-hmm.
You think that, you know, the perpetrators would allow, you know, themselves to be found out so easily?
No, not going to happen.
You think this could be a cover-up?
Always.
And what's that cover-up going to look like?
It looks like we got 14,000 different things going on, so nobody can ever get pointed in the right direction for where the facts lie.
Or they can cover up the real story.
Yes.
And what happened with JFK was the same thing.
Yep.
Until it's water in the bridge and nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, but the only problem is that whoever has control, or whatever entity or entities have control of this, has at their fingertips such amount of power,
it
boggles the mind.
Yep. They can dustify somebody anytime they want.
There's some videos, I think, on your homepage, in your steel girders just turning into dust.
Yep. Yeah, and you can see that the moment which the sharp outline of the steel is no longer sharp. It's just fuzzy haze.
Just kind of goes away.
Yep. And I think the energy might even come from the material itself.
Where do you think this, is this something that would be tied in, that would have significance with a hurricane, or is it something tied in also from space, or?
Well, the fact that the hurricane was real hushed, and they didn't warn anybody in New York City that they might want to think about evacuating. You know, when Hurricane Rita was aimed towards Houston, it didn't reach Houston, but it was aimed that direction, they gave people 2-3 days notice to pack up and move out of town.
Uh-huh.
And people were driving, you know, north or inland or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
If you have New York City at sea level, and you have this hurricane for 4 days making a beeline straight to New York, you know it's going to encounter a high-pressure cold front, but you don't know exactly where and if it's going to stall out and exactly where it's going and what it's doing.
Uh-huh.
You don't know unless you can control it.
And it was there during this time, and then what happened after 911?
It made a beeline to New York, was approximately the closest, at 8 a.m. the morning of 9/11. It stalled out, and then that afternoon it made a U-turn and started heading out of town.
So it went straight out to sea away from New York?
Correct. It made like a 110-degree turn.
Go ahead.
It's approximately 500 miles in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Big, huge thing. It was right off the coast. It was within range of Washington, D.C. and of New York City. And all along the Jersey shore, you know, there'd be concern for storm surges for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the outer bands of it were over Cape Cod. And over the tip of Long Island. It was that close. I actually have a photo on my website where you can see that it's a picture looking, east, from up in the air, looking at the towers fuming, and you can see the hurricane off in the distance.
Wow. And so you think there may be some correlation of the energy or something with that, with what happened with 911?
Well, again, we start with the evidence, and the evidence is a one-to-one correlation with John Hutchison's reproducing of Nikola Tesla's work. And so how does he do it? He makes a static field with a Van de Graaff generator or a Tesla coil, and then interferes with that field, another type of energy, like radio frequency, microwaves, or other signals, and gets this weird effect. If you can direct the, you know, one portion of it within this larger field, That's being able to direct the effects. And now, if you were going to supersize that, and you know what John Hutchison does, you would need a humongous Tesla coil or Van de Graaff generator.
Uh-huh.
Well, what's a hurricane?
Well, I don't know what a Tesla coil is, but I used to, when I was in physics, a Van de Graaff generator is a thing that grabs a static up and puts it on a ball on a belt.
Well, right, the belt is sliding over things and takes electrons from one place to another, and it creates a static field around it.
Mm-hmm.
People notice when a storm is coming. People with arthritis often talk about feeling the weather change.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel a storm coming. Why? Because it creates an electrical field ahead of the storm,
mm-hmm.
outside of where the clouds actually are. In Manhattan, on 9/11, or surrounding Manhattan on 9/11, the three major airports, LaGuardia, JFK, and Newark airports, all three of them reported thunder on 9/11.
Okay.
That's evidence of field effects.
Mm-hmm.
You get thunder ahead of a storm because you have an electrical potential between the, you know, you think of this pie plate on the top and the ground, is a difference, and so you get arcing between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they recorded thunder at those three airports indicates that indeed the field effects from the hurricane extended that far.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. That sounds logical.
So I believe that is the use of the hurricane. It's a static field generator.
Okay, and then so there had to be some other, if it Hutchison, then there's some other sort of another source that interfered with that to be able to direct it or something and to make it do what it did then?
Right, right. With Hutchison stuff, it's radio frequency signals or microwave signals.
Now, what sort of things has he been able? Has he, was it levitation things? Is it things vanishing, turning into dust? What has he been able to do?
Oh, another one of the things, when the light bulb went on for me, and I stumbled upon his site, I'd never heard of him before, and saw all of these things, and I started reading something about it that said, lift or disruption. Well, by golly, that's what we have in the cars. I couldn't figure it out why the cars that were upside down were almost in pristine condition. Where the cars that were right side up were toasted looking. I mean by toasted, you know, destroyed, not fixable anymore. They're totaled. You know, history, they're toast.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it came from. It's just my generic word for it. It's toast. It does look a little bit cooked, but we don't know what, you know, if it was a true fire or what it was that caused it. But the car, there's one picture where there's an SUV that's toasted, and the car in front of it is upside down, you know, in its parking space, but upside down. It's in pristine condition, like it's off the showroom floor.
Yeah, hold that thought here. Man, okay, we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. And before we hit the top of the hour, these cars, I've looked at the pictures that you've got on your home page, and some of them are they're just toasted. I mean, they just like they've had a fire. There's some of them that's like they had a fire, but that only part of the car is affected. And then there's some of them, right, like you were talking about, there's one upside down, nothing happened, and there's another one right next to it that's got part of it toasted. And then how far away are these from the site?
From right next to it to a half mile away over by the East River.
So half a mile away, cars are being affected by something that happened way the heck over yonder?
Yep, on the total opposite side of Manhattan. The World Trade Center is on the Hudson River, and over in the East River on the opposite side of Manhattan is where these cars were under FDR Drive.
How many cars total do you think were affected?
They reported 1,400, and that's, you know, of course, the number of cars remaining that you could count.
So how does 1,400 cars have anything to do with what happened to the World Trade Building if it, quote, came down by explosion, airplane, or fire?
Exactly. And
that's
how many cars? And how many cars can you park next to the World Trade Center?
Well, they're going to have to have them tiered up there. They must have had a parking garage there.
Well, they had a parking garage underneath, but I've got a recording from that where a rescue worker says, anybody down there, 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 and it echoes like a big empty cave.
So what's that? What are we looking at here again?
Let's compare back with the Hutchison effect. He gets lift or disruption. Not lift and disruption. Lift or disruption. And I think that's a result of a field effect. Before we get too far, let me make a strong point here. When I say directed energy weapons, I'm talking about energy that can be directed and is used as a weapon. I'm not talking about lasers from outer space.
Okay.
This is something that, you know, has been used for disinfo campaign often, and it confuses people. I don't know what else to call this and categorize it as, other than it's an energy weapon that can be directed, so it falls under directed energy weapons.
Okay.
And so if you have an energy field that varies, it makes sense, if you think about it, that if something is in the middle of the field, it's going to get toasted. If it's on the edge of the field, it may fly away.
Okay, so that explains why some of them were nothing happened, except they just kind of levitated or flipped over or something.
Right. It threw stuff in the air. Like, you can do a physics demonstration with an inductive coil for making a magnet in a magnetic field, mm-hmm. and put it around a soda pop can. The can will collapse in and crush.
Mm-hmm.
And collapse and kind of be destroyed. If the can is on the edge of that field, the can will fly out into the room somewhere and only be damaged when it bounces off of something and hits something.
Okay, is there some correlation between if it's toasted and or partially toasted that it would be upright, or would we see toasted and or partially toasted and then also maybe turned over, or is there any correlation there?
If it's totally toasted, we don't see it anymore. If it's at the edge of the of the affected zone, there's going to be some stuff that's toasted and some stuff that's flipped,
mm-hmm.
and tossed, and what we have left, at the end of the day at ground zero is stuff that was on the edge of the affected zone.
Okay, I hear the music. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. Boy, this is absolutely astounding. You're not going to hear this in mainstream media.
Back
in a minute.
Nope.
Introducing the new